Welcome to the Accra Community Church podcast. As you listen to God's word today, may it become for you fresh water for your thirsty soul, give you hope to cope, and wisdom to thrive, excel, and become everything God says you are. God bless you as you listen to today's sermon.
Speak to some mountains this morning. Open your mouth, begin to speak to some mountains in your life. Begin to declare that they be removed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you that the mountains obey us when we speak to them. And I pray this morning that every mountain be removed out of the lives of your children. Every obstacle, every problem that looks so big, so insurmountable, may it move today in the name of Jesus as we speak to them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. That line really spoke to me because this week I had a special revelation from God's word. That kind of word that, you know, just comes at you, boom, like that. When Jesus was sleeping, the disciples came to him when the storm was raging. And they came to Jesus crying out to him, and they called to him. And Jesus wakes up and he rebukes them. He says, do you not have faith? And it just struck me. What did they do wrong? Isn't it faith to call to Jesus when you're in trouble? Is that not a sign of faith to call to Jesus? But Jesus said, no. True faith is not calling to me for help. True faith is speaking to the storm. Hallelujah. Jesus was frustrated because they had been with him long enough to have enough faith to not come running to him in the face of trouble, but to speak to the mountain, hallelujah, to speak to the storm. May we grow in our faith. May we get to that place where when the troubles come, we're able to stand up and speak to them and say, hey, you, peace, be still. And say, you, mountain, move, be cast into the sea, hallelujah. That is the kind of faith that God wants from us. And may he help us to get there, amen. Today we are talking about overcoming discouragement. Remember, this whole year we are talking about growth. We looked at G, the first G in growth, the first letter in growth, G. Now we are on R, rising up to our calling. And for this week, we are looking at overcoming discouragement. And I like us to think of discouragement as a disease. And the things that cause discouragement as the agents of disease, so viruses, bacteria, whatever you want to call them. And I want us to cast our minds back to a couple of years ago, 2019, 2020, when the pandemic hit, when Corona came. If you remember, the forecast was bleak. And I'll never forget Melinda Gates' words. She said, in Africa, it's going to be so bad that we're going to see people falling down on the streets like flies. That's what she said. COVID was going to wipe out a lot of us in Africa because we don't have the resources, the capacity to take care of the disease. When it comes to having all the equipment in ICUs, ventilators and all that, woefully inadequate. So her prediction wasn't wrong. In terms of curing the disease, we didn't have the setup. We didn't have the capacity at all. But there was something else at work that nobody thought about. There was something else at work. At the end of the pandemic, scientists began to look back and say, so why did Africa survive? Why didn't they die as much as we did? And a lot of theories came up. One of the most plausible theories is that Africans have the sun. The sunshine on their skin produces vitamin D. They have high levels of vitamin D that boosts their immunity. And so COVID could not knock them down. Vitamin D. And it looks like it's a very possible or plausible theory because even in Africa, those who died were the very rich people who never worked out in the sun. They were in ACs in their homes, AC in their car, AC in their office, and they didn't have enough vitamin D. But those who were on the street selling, those who were in the farms carrying mankini and things, they were strong, high levels of vitamin D, and they survived. This morning, as I prepared to bring a word to us on overcoming discouragement, I went to the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I felt that he was onto something there. I felt that that guy, he was a very good lawyer, but I think he would have made a better doctor. Because in this passage of scripture, he gives us special vitamins that boost our immunity against discouragement. And we're going to be looking at them. And I pray that everyone will find a relevant vitamin that will boost your immunity. So that when the viruses and the bacteria of discouragement come hitting at you, you won't be falling down like flies. But I will stand up strong, hallelujah. We will overcome discouragement. And actually, more than overcome it, we will become better because of it. Amen. So just to prove that this apostle really knows a bit about discouragement, I want us to hear his testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So actually, we'll get the vitamins in chapter 4, same 2 Corinthians. But chapter 11, let's hear his testimony from verse 16. Again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. He was discouraged, you see, because he was working hard preaching the gospel to people, and they were following quacks. They were running after miracles. They ran after false prophets who were controlling them, taking all their money from them, giving them false doctrine. And he was working hard to grow them in the Lord, and they were not listening. So he was getting discouraged. So that's why he began to talk like this. He says, such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I am ashamed to say that we have been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I am talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows that I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guards at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. This is Apostle Paul's testimony. The man knows suffering. The man knows what it is to be attacked by things that discourage you and try to stop you and make you want to quit and give up. So he's not talking theory here when he gives us these vitamins. He's been through it all. He's seen it all. And by God's grace, he never got discouraged. He fought to the very, very end. And so I want us to look at these vitamins that he gives us in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. I will read it out. It's a bit long, but please follow me. And then we start looking at the nuggets, the vitamins from it. So again, another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. He says, God in his mercy has given us this work to do. And so we do not become discouraged. Several versions will say, so we do not give up, or we do not, or we are not in despair and all that. But I chose the good news because it used the word discouraged. And so we do not become discouraged. We put aside all secrets and shameful deeds. We do not act with deceit, nor do we falsify the word of God. In the full light of truth, we live in God's sight and try to commend ourselves to everyone's good conscience. For if the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the evil god of this world. He keeps them from seeing the light shining on them, the light that comes from the good news about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Verse 5, for it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who said, out of darkness the light shall shine, is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts to bring us the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Christ. Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay pots in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God and not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair or never discouraged. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend or never abandoned, as NIV would say. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The scripture says, I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will also raise us up with Jesus and take us together with you into his presence. All this is for your sake. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, they will offer to the glory of God more prayers of thanksgiving. Finally, from verse 16, for this reason, we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being, or NIV you say the inner man, is being renewed day after day. And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Amen. Long passage, but let's try and glean all these vitamins out of it. The first one we will see is that God loves you unconditionally. He says, because we have been called by the mercy of God, we are not discouraged. Hallelujah. Remember that it is God who has called you. Remember that you are a child of God. Remember that God loves you. Let's dwell on his mercy. Let's dwell on his grace. Let's dwell on his kindness. Let's dwell on his unconditional love. He says, because God called us by his mercy. It's not because we deserved it. No. No. Remember that nothing you have came to you because you deserved it. Not even the breath in your lungs this moment. Some people didn't wake up this morning. It is by the mercies of God that you are sitting here. It is by the grace of God that you are here. Let's remember that. That our being here, our very existence, all that we are, all that we have, all that we do, even this thing that is discouraging us, maybe it is work that is frustrating you, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your children, maybe it's ministry. Listen, it is by the mercies and the grace of God that you even have that. Remember that. He says, because of that, we are not discouraged. When we forget about the grace of God, when we forget about the mercies of God, when we forget about God's kindness and we begin to think that we deserve, we begin to feel entitled, it makes room for discouragement. But when we always remember it is just by grace, it keeps us on track. It keeps us going. It helps us focus on the positive and understand that God is with us. But it's also important to understand that because we get often discouraged because people let us down. If you want approval from people, you'll get into trouble all the time. Don't seek approval from people. Seek approval from God. Rest on his unconditional love and acceptance. If you have that, people can insult you. People can malign your name. They can say all kinds of things about you. You find that you have the strength to keep going on because you know what God thinks about you. And you know his thoughts about you are good. You know, no matter how much you have messed up, his grace is sufficient for you. So the first thing Paul says is that dwell on the grace of God. Focus on the mercies of God. Focus on his love for you, and you will not get discouraged. Vitamin number one, God's love, God's grace. It also keeps you from the performance cycle. Sometimes we think that it's by doing well that you are okay, or your sense of self-worth comes from your performance. No, rest in his grace alone. Hallelujah. His grace alone. Corrie ten Boom said that when you look at the world, you get distressed. When you look at yourself, you get depressed. But when you look at Christ, you are at rest. Hallelujah. So let's focus on him and on his love. Vitamin number two, be authentic. Verse two, he says that, let me read verse two. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. He says that we put aside all secret and shameful deeds. We do not act with deceit, nor do we falsify the word of God. In the full light of truth, we live in God's sight and try to commend ourselves to everyone's good conscience. Then he goes on saying other things. But the point here is that he says that be yourself, be authentic, be genuine. Don't fake it. Don't pretend to be what you are not. Because that is another big source of stress and tiredness and discouragement. If you are yourself, you find that you can go longer. But if you are pretending to be something you are not, you get tired very easily. The energy that it takes to keep up appearances is not small. It will discourage you. But when you work in your natural strength, when you are working in your talent, when you are working in who you are, you go on and on. People even wonder, don't you get tired? Look at these guys when they play here. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I don't think they are tired. These guys can do gigs for 12 hours straight. Because it's in their natural talent. They are being who they are. They are using their skills. Do you understand? But you ask me to go and play those drums. Master, the stress I will go through. Because it's not who I am. There's power in being authentic. There's power in not pretending to be something that you are not. And a lot of us get discouraged and tired because we are not in the right places. We are pretending to be something we are not. And I'll talk about it later again at another point, so I won't talk too much about it. But a lot of people have come to know Christianity as a religion where there's a lot of pretense. May ACC never get there. May we be as we are, real. When you see us, you see everything. You don't see Christianese in ACC. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Hey, brother. You know, no. It's intentional. Even our dressing as pastors, we're intentional that we don't wear collar. We can wear collar if we want to. It's intentional. We want to be like you. We want to be real. We are human beings like you. There's no separation between clergy and laity. No, we want to be ourselves. You go for functions, and when they are serving refreshments, pastors have to go to a special room. They don't eat among the people. SEC, we sit at the back with you, and we all drink coffee, and we all fight over biscuits. It's being real, brothers and sisters. You see, when people who do those things, they get tired easily because they are not being real. It takes energy to try and be something that you are not. So Apostle Paul says that another vitamin to prevent discouragement in ministry and whatever you are doing, in your family, in marriage, don't pretend. Be who you are. Be naked and not ashamed. If you have to wake up every morning before your husband and do makeup and do the things before he wakes up, before you don't want to see the real face, madam, you'll get discouraged very soon. You'll get tired very soon. Be yourself. Be yourself. Let your wife know what you earn. If you have to pretend every time there's enough money when there isn't, look, you will get tired. You'll get discouraged. be authentic. Let's be our real selves. And sometimes even admitting we have a headache can be a problem. Because we are Christians, we mustn't admit we have a headache. What kind of pretense is that? Please, let's be ourselves. If you pretend, I'm telling you, you'll get tired, you'll get discouraged. Very soon, you'll be giving up even on your faith. You say this faith is not real. Let's be authentic. Hallelujah. Number three, vitamin number three, verse 5. Verse 5 says that, for it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. So vitamin number three is, it's not about you. It's not about you. Remember that. If you think it's about you, you get tired. If you make yourself the center of the universe, everything is about me, you get tired. Take everything personal, you get tired. But if you remember that it's not about you, it's not yourselves that you preach. That is for him in his ministry. But for you, as what? Whatever you do, a teacher, a husband, a wife, a lawyer, a parent, remember it's not about you. Never make it about you. If you personalize everything, your children go away once more, I'm a bad parent, it's my fault. Your husband gets upset more, it's because I'm not good enough. Listen, you will get discouraged, you will get tired, you will get worn out. Apostle Paul says, it's not about you. Never personalize it. Is that okay? Try not to personalize stuff. It's not about you. Look at a bigger picture. Look at the world. But he actually gives us even more. And it's really countercultural. In the world today, we are being told to look after yourself. Seek your own interests, you know. Take care of yourself first. Love yourself. But he says, no. Have a different motivation. He says, we are doing it for Christ's sake. Beautiful, isn't it? If you make it about Christ, if you make it about his glory, it changes everything. It takes the stress off you. It takes it off you. I want to pray for the sick. She says she has a headache. I come and I pray. The headache doesn't go. If it's about me, I start feeling bad. Hey, what would they think about me? I'm a fake pastor. I don't have power. It didn't go. You see, it stops you and so it discourages you. But when it's not about you and it's about him, you come in his name. I pray in Jesus' name, headache go. If he doesn't do it, it's not me, it is him. It's not about you. Don't carry the responsibility unnecessarily. Let's make it about him. Make it about his glory. Make it about his name. Amen. It's not about you. In fact, one of my favorite authors and speakers, Simon Sinek, has written a book called Start With Why. He says, start with why. And it's a very good book about purpose, about wanting to go far. If you want to go to the end and not get discouraged, it's important to remember the reason why you started it in the first place. Maybe somebody here in your marriage, you need to remember why you married him in the first place. You need to remember why you married her. Maybe somebody here needs to remember why you started that job in the first place. Why you chose that career in the first place. Because sometimes in the middle of the journey, it gets tiring. You can get disillusioned. And you can get discouraged. And you want to give up. But remember why. If it's about you, you won't have what it takes. But if your reason is in him, you find a purpose outside of yourself. If it's about the other person, you find that you find strength to keep going on. So remember, vitamin number three, it's not about you. Number one, God loves you. Dwell on his grace and his mercies and his goodness and all that. Number two, be yourself. Be authentic. But number three is, it's not about you. Vitamin number four, know and accept your limitations and those of others. If you're going to go far and not get discouraged easily, you must know your limitations. And we find that in verse 7. It talks about jars of clay. Verse 7 says, yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay pots, in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. Hallelujah. Remember that you are clay. Some of us are ornately designed. Some of us are even gold-plated. So on the outside, we look like we are not clay. I beg you, no matter the PhDs and the this and the that, at the heart of it, we are all clay pots. It means that we can be scratched. It means that we can crack. It means that we can break. If you think you are Superman or Superwoman, you are headed for trouble. Discouragement will come. Tiredness will come. Very soon you'll be giving up. Remember, you can't do it all. He says that we are made clay to show that the power that comes from us is not of us, but is of God. Don't think it's your own power or might. It's not by might, it's not by power. It is by the Spirit of God. So always remember that the power is not in you. It's not in you. If you think it's in you, then you get tired, you get discouraged, and you give up. Keep looking up to the source of power, God Himself. Hallelujah. But in the same way, remember that your wife is also clay. Your husband is clay. Your child is clay. Your boss is clay. But most importantly, even your pastors, they are clay pots. Many have given up on the faith because of pastors. Look at what that pastor did. Look at what that leader did. And then you give up. But hey, one thing about God, He tends to use the weakest pots, actually. That's what God does. So if you look at the pot, and because of the pot, you want to shipwreck your faith and give up on God, then you will go church hunting all your life. You won't believe in any pastor anymore, because we are all clay. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our flaws. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is. So remember that. This scripture saw me through a very difficult time in my life. Very difficult time. When I got disillusioned with leadership. And this scripture came to me and gave me strength. That even those that we look up to and thought they were perfect, they are also clay pots. They too can break. They too can crack. They too can scratch. They too have their flaws. So remember that. It will keep you going. It will keep you not giving up on people, not giving up on your children, not giving up on your husband or your wife, but also not giving up on yourself. God knows you are clay. Leave it to Him. His power inside of you will help you go on. So don't look to yourself. Don't look to those people. Don't look to us, your leaders. Look to God. Hallelujah. We are talking about vitamins to prevent discouragement. Interestingly, if we are discouraged, these same vitamins can cure your discouragement as well. But I'm putting emphasis on prevention, because it's better not to even get discouraged in the first place. Amen? So, clay pots, we all are. But thank God, because of His grace, He loves to use even clay pots. Amen. Vitamin number 5. Remember that this situation that is discouraging you may be for someone else's benefit. And that's verse 15. Verse 15 says that all this is for your sake. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, they will offer to the glory of God more prayers of thanksgiving. All the suffering He went through, all the discouraging viruses and bacteria he accepted and faced, He said He did all this for the benefit of the people. Because as more and more people get saved, more glory and thanksgiving goes to God. Wow. Let's change perspectives a little bit. What you are going through right now may be really, really hard and tough. You want to quit. You want to give up. But for the sake of other people, you know, there's one thing about suffering. A lot of research has shown that when people find purpose in their suffering, they're able to endure the pain and the suffering. Think about a woman in the labor ward. The pain she goes through, she even vows, I'll never do it again. If you go to the labor ward at Kolebu, the way they insult their husbands. Kofi, you are a fool. Kofi, you put me through this. We had all this when we were in the labor ward. But they come out and within weeks, they are ready to go again. Because there's purpose in the pain. Hallelujah. When you find purpose in the pain, you're able to endure. You're able to go again and again without giving up. So find purpose in your suffering. What is discouraging you now? Maybe your marriage is struggling. But begin to look beyond it and see it as training to become a marriage counselor to help other people. And even now, begin to reach out to other people. Maybe your business is struggling and you are broke, so it's a financial issue. Begin to think about who you are better than, that you can also bless with some cash. begin to find purpose in your pain. Begin to realize that, look, what you're going through could be for the benefit of other people. Apostle Paul says, I went through all this for your benefit, so that you will get saved, so that more thanksgiving and glory will go to God. So find purpose in the pain and see who can benefit from it. You reframe it. Psychologists will call it reframing. You reframe the problem. Suddenly begin to see it in a different way. And then suddenly you realize that, okay, I can actually use this to bless people. Out of this suffering, I can do a ministry to other people. It helps. So purpose also helps us keep going. So long as people are being helped, people are being encouraged, people are being saved, people are being discipled, Apostle Paul was ready to keep suffering. Vitamin number 6, verse 16. It says that, for this reason, we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is being renewed day after day. Hallelujah. Vitamin number 6, don't forget daily renewal. Daily renewal. We get discouraged and we give up sometimes because we get tired. You get tired. It's as easy as that. And I'm talking even physically. If physically you are tired or you are sick, it's easy to give up on what you want to do. So let's look after ourselves well. Let's eat well. Let's get enough rest. Sleep well. You know, look after yourself well. Get daily rest. It's very important. Renew your soul. Renew your spirit. Get emotional renewal daily. Talk to friends. Have a good laugh. If it means even buying a book of jokes or going online, get some jokes and laughing. Laugh. It's emotional renewal. It's important. But the apostle is talking here about spiritual renewal. He said the reason he's not discouraged because even though this body is being wasted away, even though there's suffering and there's pain, he says the inner man, the spiritual man, is being renewed day by day, every day. And how is that? The word of God, prayer, worship. Let's eat the word. Meditate on the word. Now we are doing Bible studies Tuesdays and Friday mornings at 5 a.m. We are studying the books of the Bible. That is how you renew your spirit daily. That's how the inner man is being built up. Tuesday evenings, Friday evenings, we do Bible study and prayer as well. Sunday mornings, we are hearing the word. We are renewing the inner man. If you don't feed on God's word, you are getting weaker and weaker by the day. It's the vitamins. Remember, when COVID came, the vitamin D protected us. The more you study God's word, the more you meditate on it, the more you pray, you find that when the troubles, the discouraging things come, you're able to stand. Hallelujah. So please, don't forget daily renewal. Read the word. Praise God. Worship him. Number 7, time is running quickly. Number 7, keep your eyes on eternity. That's the last two verses. Maintain an eternal perspective. So verse 17 and verse 18. And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Hallelujah. An eternal perspective changes everything. Suddenly, all the trouble, all the struggles, all the discouraging things, they become very small because you are looking beyond them. Hallelujah. You are looking beyond them. Often, the things that discourage us are because of troubles and impediments in our ways. And when you are a Christian, those obstacles are even bigger. Small business transaction you want to do, there has to be a bribe. That can be discouraging. You want to quit because of that. But he says that, remember that all this suffering is nothing compared with the glory that awaits you. Hallelujah. And we are given an example in the scriptures as well. Jesus himself, Hebrews 12, 2-3. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he's now seated at the right side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. So Hebrews says, be like Jesus. Fix your eyes on the end, eternal things, the reward that awaits us. And because of that, let all the struggles and the pain and the sufferings today become nothing in the face of the glory that awaits us. We will lose some things here. You will lose one or two contracts, you know. Going through pain with relationships is not easy. You will suffer a bit. But don't go the way of the worldly people. Hold on. Don't give up. Trust God. Don't respond the way everybody says you should respond. Keep loving. Keep caring. Keep going ahead. Keep doing the right things. It says that in the end, you will get the reward. That day, when you see your Lord, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You realize that it was worth it. And the final one. Before the final one, Galatians 6 verse 9 is a sweet one. It says, do not get tired of doing good. If you do not get discouraged and give up, at the proper time, you will get your reward. That's a promise. Do not get discouraged. Do not give up. Keep doing good. Then the final vitamin, it kind of applies to all of this. If you look at all the verses we've looked at, from verse 1 to verse 18, Apostle Paul spoke all the time in the collective. He used we, therefore we do not. Our this, not mine, not yours. What it tells us is that it's better to do life in community. Hallelujah. If you walk alone, you get discouraged. Get small groups. Get support groups. Get prayer teams. Join a cell group. If there's none in your area, come and talk to the pastors about wanting to start a cell group in your area. You see, these small groups help us do life better. When the viruses come and you are alone, they're able to hit you and you get discouraged. But if you have someone you can lean on, someone you can talk to, someone you can pray with, you find that strength and encouragement comes. You're able to ward the discouragers away and you're able to go on strong. So please, do not neglect fellowshipping. Online meetings, they are important. Build bonds, build relationships. Join a group. Find even one person, an accountability partner. If it's an addiction you are dealing with, you are struggling with pornography, you are struggling with some hard substance you drink or smoke, please find someone you can be accountable to. Let's do it together. Let's lift one another up. The Bible says that when two walk together, when one falls, the other one what? Lifts them up. It's important that we do it in community. Let's do it together. That's why ACC has community in our name. Community is important to us. Don't do it alone. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your word you give us antidotes to discouragement. Today I pray over every struggling business, every struggling marriage, every struggling parent-child relationship. I pray over everyone who's struggling with addiction to whatever thing it is. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that we receive strength, that everyone will find something today they can hold on to and move on with so they do not get discouraged and they can win these battles against discouragement. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. If it blessed you, share it with a friend. For more information on how to fellowship with Accra Community Church, visit our website, www.accrachurch.org. God bless you.